All right, welcome back into the second hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, 102.5, 106 for the game. Chase McCabe off. He'll be back in tomorrow. Dr. Crane has come out of the glass. He's sitting in the studio. The speaker, Connor Newt, running the show behind the board today. We're expecting Derek Lewis to call us any minute now. Brian Callahan, press conference at 10:15. Has your Tennessee Titans are back on the practice field, of course, at 10:45. Bert, celebrity birthdays. Oh, we got to get this out of the way because somebody keeps texting in. Murray State. Now, I know they can hear us up in Murray, Kentucky. Congratulations to Murray State for knocking off Ole Miss and headed to the Super Regional. The SEC sucks in baseball right now in postseason play, and Murray State took advantage of that and beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, I watched the back end of that game, and Murray State, they were basically painting the corners from the pitcher's mound. I mean, everything that Ole Miss thought was a ball was not a ball. It was a strike. It was beautiful to watch. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, aiming for the downfall of the SEC, but if it's Ole Miss, as a Mississippi State fan, I love every bit of it.
Well, why not? I mean, everybody's like, SEC, 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 and then you get to the postseason, Vandy, Texas, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Georgia, all bounced out of there, and people are loving it. They're absolutely loving it.
And I think, too, this College World Series coming up with all the Super Regionals, I think it's just going to open the door for a lot of these smaller schools like a Murray State to really showcase what they really have.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
And it's great. The fact that Murray State, and honestly, I thought Little Rock, Arkansas was going to do it last night against LSU.
Right.
They were up 5-1 the whole game. I think like the fifth or sixth inning, it all imploded. It was just like, oh, boy.
Oh, well. And then so they move on. The Vols win last night by knocking off Wake Forest. So head into Fayetteville, Arkansas. A lot of drama there, okay, because that's where Vitello came from, Arkansas. He was assistant coach there. That's a good Arkansas baseball team. But these Vols, man, I thought that when they're down the Wake 2-0, I was like, this, you know, the firepower's not there. Then they just exploded and took off.
Yeah, and it's just something Vandy didn't have this year was the bats. And as for Tennessee, they have that. And they don't have to really – kind of find their groove. Tennessee's already finding their groove in the first 2-3 innings. Like, I get it. The first two innings against Wake Forest, not great. But after inning number 2-3 up to 9, it was bats left and right galore.
If you're a baseball pitcher and the Vols drive you crazy because of their theatrics, which I love because you have an opinion and I like it and that's fine.
Right.
College baseball, I couldn't care less. I love the celebrations. If Connor Newt hit a home run off of you, right? And he celebrated, and he got it came up again in the fourth inning. Would you hit him with a pitch? Yes or no?
No malice towards you, Connor, but this is just baseball etiquette. Early 90s, late 90s, you beam the guy.
Yeah. Early 90s.
Hit me. I'm charging the mound. Hit me.
This has been through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know,
well, like, the reason why I say early 90s, 2000s is because Pedro Martinez with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, all that feud. Like, that's what I remember growing up on, especially Cardinals and Cubs. Like, there was a lot of feuds that they would throw at each other if that was the case.
Well, you know, Chaser brought up there one day about Greg Maddux, about when he was with the Cubs. Came up, and then the protocol was to hit the next batter. I forget what the situation was, and then if Maddux hit him, he'd be ejected and going back to the minor leagues, and Maddux hit the guy.
Now, here's the thing, though.
I love it.
When you go after somebody, and because he hit a home run the inning before, you don't want to make it noticeable. So, like, throw him a slider low and away, and then maybe throw him, I don't know, a fastball high at eye level. Not near him, but high eye level. Because show you don't really have the control. Your arm's a little loosey-goosey. Then you just get a four-seam.
So you fake it.
You get a four-seam fastball, you grip it, and you just.
I'm hitting you first pitch.
No. No, because then you get thrown out.
That's fine.
No. If I'm a really good pitcher, I methodically do this. I do 2-3 pitches, ball low and away, a ball up high near the eyeballs, and then the next one lights out.
But in the baseball, like the 60s and 70s, they beam guys. They couldn't care less.
But
man.
Now there's a not a politic aspect to it, but the umpires are very, very quick to make their decision.
Well, sure.
Oh, no, you're gone.
Yeah.
No, I want to stay in the game, but I want to make a message saying, hey, you hit a home run off me, guess what?
Nolan Ryan was really, really good at that, if you ever watch him.
Yeah.
As far as what?
As far as not beaming the guy and taking more of a methodical game approach, I'm going to embarrass you, but not hurt you.
Popped Robin Ventura, then beat the snot out of him when that young whippersnapper came running at the old man.
But that, I mean, that's the approach. It's 2 to 3 pitches, beam him, and then after that, striking out the side.
So what if Newt hits a home run, he keeps his head down, runs around the bases, goes in dugout, and there's no celebration?
That's fine.
You can hit him again?
No, I would not hit him.
So what?
I'll hit you.
What?
Well, he didn't celebrate in my face. That's fine. I'm just going to let
so he's got to be so that.
Yeah, there's something that has to really instigate the issue.
Did you get mad at the Vols player when the Wake Forest coach called him out, had some unchoice words on TV?
I didn't see this until this morning. So, like.
Okay, that's fine. But you saw the replay. Would that make you mad?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it would.
But knowing what the coach is yelling at that guy, you're okay? You know, I'm surprised that Tennessee
didn't do anything about it.
I mean, the dude sent a rocket shot into right field.
Like, if that were the opposing coach and I was playing, I would definitely have an issue with it. If I saw it in real time, I would then probably say, hey, to the pitcher, hey, that number 4 on their lineup, just take him to the cleaners.
Let's go ahead and do it.
Just take him to the cleaners.
I got no problem with it, man. If you hit me, then
some people may think it's a nasty thing in baseball. I love it. It's a part of the game. I think you got to have to do stuff like that.
Bob Gibson hit people. He's your beloved St. Louis Cardinal pitcher.
Exactly.
Sonny Gray does, too.
Yeah.
By the way, we need a Colorado Rocky update.
Oh, they won yesterday.
They did.
Miami Marlins, 6-4.
What's the record now?
10-50.
10-50.
Through 60 games, they're 10-50.
We love our Nashville Sounds.
Yep.
But we're going to because this show has become the official Colorado Rocky show because they're so – now, what are the White Sox? They're equally as awful.
They're 18-42. The White Sox are pretty bad. I think it was the 2020 season or 2022 season. They won, like, what, 11 games, I think? Or
it was up it to was this point?
It was a little more than that.
It was, like, 17.
17.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've already – they're already over their win total.
The Rockies are 10-50.
Yeah, they're the worst team in baseball.
Can't they just bring up guys, or do they do that from like single A and double A?
Yeah, they did actually. A Tennessee guy, Chase Dolander, the pitcher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they brought him up. He's actually been pretty decent, but I mean, they're still losing baseball games.
Can I ask you this? Why are the Rockies so bad?
I mean, they offload all their key players, like Charlie Blackman, who was their veteran outfielder, retired, obviously.
Okay.
But you look at a guy like Nolan Arenado gets bought out by the Cardinals.
Trevor Story.
Yeah, Trevor Story to the Red Sox. Like, you have a bunch of guys that were really good core pieces, and you move on from them because front office sees the dollar signs.
So why have a team?
I don't know. That's how a lot of these teams have really made their money. Like, for example, look at, I'm going to call them the Sacramento A's, even though they're the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
They were bad for so long, and they offloaded a lot of their key pieces, and they've ended up saying, you know what, we're building through the draft, and we're sticking to it. And they have. They have. They've got Lawrence Butler, Jacob Wilson, Tyler Soderstrom. Like, these are all key
Look
pieces.
Look at you. You should be on baseball tonight.
I mean, it's one of my favorite sports, Joe. I can't help it.
But the A's were competitive, though, for some of those years. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, they were competitive. That was the early 2000s, though.
Is that the Moneyball era?
Yeah, the Moneyball era. Like, okay. They were competitive because they were all over the sabermetrics of things. Now, they've actually have a young core to build through, and they can use that. I mean, every baseball team uses sabermetrics, but, like, they now have a young core to do all that. They don't have weak legs. Like, they had Ramon Laureano, who used to play for them. I believe he didn't play for them anymore, but moved on. They moved on from all these guys.
You are like Charlie Babbitt in this the room for doing that. You know who Charlie Babbitt is?
Familiar name, but no.
For the movie Rain Man, he could recall everything and stats, and this is, I'm fascinated by this.
Well, thank you.
How's your boy Paul Skeens doing with the Pirates?
Paul Skeens, let's just put this out there. Dude is an absolute unit. The fact that he's on a Pirates team that is awful, that they have a hard time scoring 5 to 6 runs a game,
right?
And yet he's still up for, I think he's the favorite for the Cy Young, and he has a 4-5 record, a losing record with a 2.39 ERA, or no, excuse me, 2.15 ERA.
Okay,
and right behind him is Yamamoto at 2.39. for the Dodgers. He got shelled this past Sunday against the Yankees.
Good, I hate the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because payroll doesn't matter.
I was supposed to see the Dodgers play the Cardinals Saturday. I was hoping to see Mookie Betts get a little reunion for my brother and dad.
Is he not playing?
He has like a toe injury. Yeah.
Is Sonny Gray pitching that game?
He should be. It might be maybe. Either Sunday or Friday. It depends on how the Cardinals do their rotation. If they're going to go ace first and then the back end of their lineup, or if it goes back into their pitching staff to their ace on Sunday.
Now, did your brother play with Mookie growing up?
He did. Yep, over at UNA, down the street from here.
Nice.
Yeah. So they played all throughout basically grade school, high school, just tournament ball. But, yeah, I knew his dad, Mr. Willie. Very nice guy.
Yeah, and then Mookie was going to Tennessee.
Yes.
Is that right?
There was that whole thing of, I think he was going to go to Vandy in Tennessee. There was that whole controversy of wanting to, was it, I think, was not able to play double sports or wanted a starting spot on Tennessee's roster or something like that.
I think he got drafted by the Red Sox in like the fifth round, right? And they offered him a ton of money. He's like, see ya.
And good for him because it turned out well for him. I remember as a kid going to my brother's game, seeing a bunch of MLB scouts out in the outfield or behind home plate. I was at a game, it was my brother at Overton, and there was a Baltimore Orioles like little satchel this guy was wearing. I was like, oh my goodness, this guy is a scout.
Pretty good?
I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty crazy. The fact that you see a professional scout like that as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, you're like, holy cow.
Oh, heck yeah. There's also this rumor, I wasn't there, but I've told that. They went out, a bunch of scout college scouts went out and looked at Sonny Gray as a sophomore. Hmm. And like all these schools were like Trevecca, Lipscomb, Austin Peay, MTSU, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. I mean, so many schools were there, like 20-something scouts. And his first pitch was like a heater. And evidently two scouts stood up and packed their bag. And somebody said, what are you doing? And they're like, Sonny Gray ain't coming to our school. And they left. Wow. It's like, we know this guy's next level. Went to Vanderbilt and then got with Corbin and then was there from 09, 10, 11 and drafted the first round by the A's in 2011 after he led Vandy to the College World Series that year.
Ended up going to the Twins later on in his career and now at the Cardinals.
He went from the A's to the Yankees to the Reds to the Twins to the Cardinals.
Yep.
So Mookie and Sonny Gray, we talk about this, were guys who grew up here that you knew – number one on that list, guys who grew up here you knew would go to the pros, Golden Tate.
Oh, 100%. When he played out at John Paul, he was a stud. Like, you didn't have to say who was that number out there. That was Golden Tate, returning a punt return, kick return, getting a ball out of the slot, whatever, and he was to the races.
Didn't he score, like, 3 touchdowns in, like, 45 seconds, something crazy?
Yeah.
He ran a punt back, then... they fumbled the kickoff, and he
got it.
The next play was a touchdown pass, and then they had to punt, and he ran the punt back. Something bizarre.
Don't quote me on this, Joe, but I believe it was against Father Ryan at John
Paul. I think it was.
Yeah, because I believe I was at that game.
For the OB Ships Cup.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Evidently, Derek Lewis is busy, and we move on. We'll connect with Brian Callahan. The Titans should be having a press conference starting soon. We'll take that in progress when we come back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Sponsored by the Omni National Hotel, 1025, 1063, The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Brian Callahan is speaking right now over at Titans Central. Here's Brian Callahan.
The guys and figuring out where you're going to slide them in, you know, X, Z, slot something.
We have a pretty good feel for where we think they naturally fit. And then we're putting guys in positions to see what they can handle as far as volume goes, as far as position movement goes, how much can guys move. This is a bit of a learning period for us, especially about our new players, a lot of young players at the position. So we're just trying to find out where they best fit. We have some pretty good ideas of what we think they're capable of doing, but we're sort of pushing them and testing them on those limits and where we can use them and how we can use them. But so far, been happy with that group and where they've progressed to. There's some good, fun, young, talented players that kind of learn it every day. And then we're trying to integrate the veteran guys that this might be just a bit different for them than normal, so than what they're used to. So they're all learning, but it's been a good process.
So much cross training.
Okay.
There's so much cross training that you have, you know, having the guys know multiple. Do you feel like the league kind of going away from having a dedicated slot guy?
There's definitely a route tree inside that takes a particular skill set to do. There's teams I think you're finding more and more have more of slot receivers because formations are condensed, and so a lot of things are inside the numbers, and it's, you know, you're kind of working with like 2 or 3 different versions of slot players. You know, I think the Rams are a good example of that style of offense. But there's a lot of different ways you can use players, and there's a lot of different body types that you can use inside, but there is a certain skill set you have to have. There's a recognition you have to have and a feel, because everything inside is different than it is just going one-on-one with a corner or just being able to see a corner and a safety. That part is a lot more.
Takes a certain aspect, I guess, to produce game-changing plays on special teams. Mm-hmm. When you look for returners, what kind of skills are you wanting to see, you know, that you know a guy can do more than just catch the ball and get it back to the offense.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And an underrated aspect of it is you got to be able to secure the catch, both in the punt and a kickoff game. But then what can they do with the ball in their hands? You know, what ability do they have to make yardage, to make people miss? There's an element of fearlessness that comes with particularly the punt return spot that you got to be able to just put your foot down and get vertical and run as fast as you can with the coverage teams bearing down on you. There's a mental makeup of those positions that you're looking for. And then just obviously speed is the other one, is that when they get a crease, can they get into it, and can they make a 10-yard return turn into a 40-yard return with just their pure ability? So that's all a part of the process of trying to evaluate it.
How hard is it to find a guy who's special in that regard? It's been a long time since this team's had somebody like that.
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of really good returners. I think special is hard to find. There's good returners out there, but the ones that, you know, the guys that can really break a game open, there's not a lot of those, I think, in short order. I mean, there's only a couple maybe. But you're trying to find guys that can be at least even effective and try to get more than, you know, what's being blocked. Is you're looking for a little bit of creation and ability with the ball in their hand outside of the structure. Or once everything has been blocked up, what are we doing after it? Are we getting just what's blocked, or are we be able to make a play and make somebody miss, which inevitably is always what you have to do to create explosives. So got some guys that have done it. Got some guys that we're trying, and we'll see where we end up.
I'm trailing a little bit big or heavy.
Right now, I think, you know, anybody coming off of significant surgery and rehab is always going to be probably off their full playing weight, just because of the nature of not being able to do the types of things over a long period of time when you're rehabbing. So he's in his rehab process. The conditioning part is sort of coming along with it. I don't see any ill effects, but again, Trey's also been he's just a bigger body as it is. So I'm pretty pleased with where he's at, and we'll see as he gets back to more consistent running and ability to get in shape. And I mean, he reported to camp last year in pretty dang good shape, so I'm expecting the same.
How do you quantify the growth from year one into year two for Andre Sweat?
I think it's the details of the position. You know, he's a supremely talented person. There's not a lot of people on the planet that can do what he does at his size. And it's more about the consistency of performance. Would like to see more from the pass rush game. He's got ability to rush for a man his size, and that's part of point of emphasis for him, is affecting the quarterback more. He's a tremendous run defender. That was a strength of his already from last year, and the part of it's going to be just improving the detail and then improving the ability to help affect the quarterback. So I think those are the things we're looking for progression-wise from him. And he has the ability to be a full three-down player. He's not necessarily your explosive interior pass rushers that are out there, but he's got great ability to push the pocket too. So looking for more of that from him. And I think he had a solid start to his career, and I think there's a whole lot more meat on that bone for him.
Encouraging things you've seen from Cam, maybe from the first OTA to, what is this, number five today?
Yeah. It's just the recognition part, understanding what's being thrown at him from a defensive perspective. The protection game is always really important, so you're getting reps at that. Today's a big third down day, so he'll see lots of different pressures. Understanding where your answers are, those things have progressed. Happy with that process so far. And then he's seeing different types of space and field defense that throws that maybe he might have made in college that don't show up in the NFL the same way, and he's learning from those. I think it's been great. He's had a lot of learning that has occurred from just the act of doing, and things that he's maybe used to doing that are different at this level, and that's always for young quarterbacks the case. It's always going to feel different. So pleased with where he's at. He's picking it up pretty quickly as far as the mental part goes, and we're learning every day he's out here.
Cam, that's so singularly in the morning and you're having to kick him out of the building. How do you manage that, and are you ever worried about a guy pacing himself?
Yeah, I've had that conversation. You know, there's everybody always starts out of the gate pretty hot, you know, but you start to get in the actual routine and you understand how long of a season it is and the marathon that it is for young players from the time they finish their college season to the time they finish an NFL season. I've made that point. Just again, I'm not telling him what to do. I'm just making the point that there's a lot ahead of him that he's not aware of yet when it comes to this, the length and the week to week to week grind that comes up for these guys. And it is a marathon. I mean, this is a long run for these young players, and all of them have to have the same sort of mindset that you're trying to get better every day and trying to put the work in that's required. But there's also that element of this is going to go all the way into January every day for the next however many months. And there is a bit of pace that's probably required. So they learn. They figure it out. But you try to help them and give them advice and point it out when you can. But I have no problem with guys trying to get the work in.
He wasn't really ending up with shutdowns the day we saw. Did that say anything about him, that he's able to find stuff, or is there going to come a point where you want him to be, quote-unquote, settling?
Yeah, there's a balance, for sure. One of the things that's good about, you know, these
– All right, that's Titans coach Brian Callahan talking about Cam Ward and a few other things. Derek Lewis has called in, the UFC, the MMA, the man. He's here next. We'll talk to Derek Lewis right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Our next guest, I'm telling you, we've had a lot of great guests on this show, but we tweeted out yesterday that Derek Lewis was coming on. The response from you guys has been something else, amazing. And we're pleased to be joined now by Derek Lewis, who's on the line with us today. UFC's coming to town on July 12th. Derek, how are you, sir? And thank you for doing this.
I'm doing good, man. I mean, I'm like, damn, that was a long-ass commercial break.
said the same thing. Yeah. Man, how are you? And we are so looking forward to seeing you in here in about 6 weeks. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, that's what I was just finished doing 6 miles right now. Just got done running.
How long does it take Derek Lewis to run 6 miles?
Say about 4 hours.
But you get it done, right?
I'll walk around, yeah.
What is your training? Is it, do you every day, do you ever take a day off?
Yeah, I take days off. I take Saturday off. That's about it.
Derek Lewis is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. Derek Lewis, it's going to be an incredible fight July 12th against you against Teixeira. Just curious, with his tall stature, can fans expect a flying knee?
They can expect spinning back kick. You know, I get my legs up there.
Okay, love that. along with that, yesterday John Jones made his, official retirement from the UFC. With him being in the heavyweight division, it just seems like all that's up in the air because they were having that match to be set up between him and Tom Aspinall. Obviously, that's in the rearview mirror now. But what is it for you when you look at a guy's career like John Jones?
Oh, I didn't know he retired. So I don't keep track of John or no other heavyweight in the division, so I just focus on myself. I don't care what everyone else is doing.
Oh, Derek, man, my co-host had like 15 questions off of that, but that's fine, though. Well, Derek, no, I'm kidding. I'm
no,
kidding.
I did. You're good, Derek.
I'm kidding. We're talking to Derek Lewis.
I just got to remember this is a PG radio show, so it's not, I can't say what I really want to say.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Yes, we appreciate
it. I know you got that buzzer waiting.
We do got the buzzer waiting. Listen, what is it about, you know, we know your background, your bio. When did you know this was your future? Was it a certain match? Was it a certain moment that you knew that UFC was going to be your life?
Oh, whenever I got locked up for it. And I just said, man, I ain't getting locked up for it no more. I'm just getting paid to do it. So that's what I started doing.
Are you, you fought all over. You're so beloved. Are you amazed, Derek, at all the people that just think highly of you, that follow you, that just think that you hung the moon?
No, I appreciate that. But, you know, I really don't think about stuff like that. I just be myself. That's all I'm doing.
Derek, you've mentioned on multiple, I guess, outlets that you want to fight more. This is your first match in a little bit over a year now. I guess, what is your benchmark for you going forward in your career? How many matches do you want to fight this year and into next season?
It really don't matter. I signed a new contract last year, and shit, the way they're paying right now, shit, I can fight until I'm 50. The way they're paying, they're finally paying the fighters now, so I'm happy with that.
Okay, perfect. Love to hear that. Do you know anything about Nashville for the most part? I know UFC's been to Nashville once in the last couple of years, but do you have any big plans minus the match afterwards?
I heard y'all got some good chicken wings out there, so that's the only reason why I'm coming, to check them chicken wings out.
Do you like hot chicken, Derek?
Of course, I'm black. You know I like hot chicken.
All right, Derek Lewis on the line with us. Derek, you know, we ask guys this all the time, but when you're going to fight Teixeira, how do you scout him? Do you watch tape? Do you look at his past three or four fights? You look at his past 30 fights? How do you approach this?
I used to watch tape on my opponents, but I stopped doing it because once I get in there with them, they change the whole game up. Some guys like stand and bang. And as soon as I fight them, they turn to wrestling.
So you're ready for anything.
Yes. So I just start focusing on myself, getting my conditioning ready for these five rounds, man. I told them I don't want to do five rounds. They're still trying to put me in the main event five rounds. So I'm still getting fans what they want.
Have you gone? I mean, I'm sure you have. When's the last time you went five rounds?
Probably 2 years ago. And that was only because the guy was trying to make love to me, just holding me.
You won that fight, obviously, right?
No, I lost. So I don't swing that way, so I just let him have it.
Oh, okay. So with this fight here with Teixeira coming up on July 12th at the Bridgestone Arena. By the way, tickets are on sale doing this. So when you do this, do you need to be more in shape? Do you keep your strength? How do you balance both of those, Derek?
What's that?
With your strength and being in conditioning, because sometimes you got to take more strength and the conditioning slides a little bit, or sometimes you better shape and the strength kind of slides just a tad bit.
I've always been strong, so I really don't focus on like strength workouts, nothing like that. I just work on conditioning because that's the main thing with heavyweights. You don't want to go in there and swinging, kicking or whatever and getting tired the first minute of the fight. So that's the most important thing is conditioning.
You mentioned conditioning there, Derek. I mean, Teixeira is 8-0 with his UFC career. Seven of those coming from TKO, one of them by submission. You're known to be a fighter that likes to knock other fighters out as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but 15 first-round knockouts, or 15 knockouts with six of them coming in the first round. Obviously, this is a five-round fight. How are you able, I guess, in your mindset, going to pace yourself coming into a tall-statured fighter like Teixeira?
I feel like with my power and everything I got going on, I feel like if I touch anyone, I can end the fight whenever I feel like. So that's what I'm going into this fight with. So if I want to end the fight in third round, or if I want to end the fight in first, or the last few seconds of the fifth round, I believe I can do that.
Okay. Well, and also, Derek, to add on to this conversation, looking at the UFC and the heavyweight division, minus Teixeira, like, who else would you look at as a threat in this division now with the whole John Jones saga coming to a close?
To be honest with you, I really don't even watch UFC like that, so I don't even know.
That's the perfect answer. Derek Lewis is on the phone with us, UFC, coming to town July 12th at Bridgestone. Tickets are on sale. All right, so Derek, nutrition-wise, do you have a trainer who says, don't eat that, eat this, don't eat that? How does that all work?
I used to have a trainer like that, but I got rid of him because McDonald's had that McGriddle in town, and he said I couldn't get it, so I had to get rid of him. So I really just eat whatever I want.
How does it, I mean,
if
so.
If I eat too much, I just throw up.
I love this because you get all these people telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and you're like, I'm just going to do what I want to do, right?
Yes, I'm the one in there getting beaten and choked out and stuff like that. They're not.
Can you, in a PG way, tell us about the phone call with President Trump recently that you got?
Well, I could tell you the way Trump said, how he talked. Shit. But no, I ain't gonna do that. No, it's classified, man. I'm not at liberty right now to talk about that. Classified.
I love it.
There's no good things are coming.
There you go. That's good. Yeah.
I got to ask you, Derek, you know, at the end of the fight, a couple years back when Joe Rogan interviewed you and you ended up taking off your pants, in a PG way, I guess, as my cohort was saying there, what kindled all that? And then after all that took place, what did you see from all the sponsorships? Did that just open up a whole avenue for your career?
Oh, yes. It opened up a big avenue for it. So I made probably over $100,000 And just merch itself. I got a Manscaped deal. I got a couple of other deals also from that. Popeyes. Like a bunch of other deals. But the reason why I did him, shit, it was hot. Right? Self-explaining.
Right, right. Do you have anything up your sleeve that just has fans ready to go for you when you come here July 12th?
I really don't know. I really don't plan nothing. It's just whatever, how I feel. I ain't even planning on taking my cup off and throwing it in the crowd or mooning the crowd. I don't plan none of that. So I'm really just trying not to do all that because I forgot my kids go to elementary school and their parents are around my age. So whenever I go to my kids' school and their friends are all talking about stuff like that, so I'll be embarrassed. So I'm going to try to keep it cool this fight.
There you go. That's spoken like a true good dad. Hey, Derek, thank you for this. We'll see you July 12th, man. This is an honor, and I hope to talk to you soon, my man. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, Derek Lewis with the line of the century that he just gave us. All right, thank you. Again, that's July 12th. Tickets on sale right now. It'll be at Bridgestone Arena. Let's go to the break. We had celebrity birthdays. What day is it next? Right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're still recovering from the greatest interview ever happening on these airwaves with Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis, yeah. Just making sure that, okay, that was something, right?
What a nice guy.
That guy doesn't care about anything, no. Which is good. Good way to live, right?
Yeah, carefree. That's exactly what you need to do in life. Just be carefree, enjoy life with a smile on your face, and yeah, he just doesn't want to answer UFC questions.
All right, we have I think it might be the only Rockies fan in America on the phone. Michael joins us now. Michael, welcome to the show. You want to talk a little Colorado Rockies?
Oh, I will, but let's not qualify myself as a Rockies fan.
Okay.
So their biggest problem is their owners. They're cheap. And as long as all these fans keep showing up to the ballpark, they won't do anything different. Just like you guys were saying, they're like a Triple-A team. Anytime they get good players and contracts come up, they trade them away.
But
go ahead.
I'm saying I don't get the mindset of not wanting to win. I just don't get that.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. They recently, within the last 5 years or so, they took and wiped out a bunch of seats in the outfield, put a big patio, turned it into a bar, and the people that show up at the bar, it counts towards the attendance. And and I don't know if the Montfort still own it, which they have a meat packing place out there, and they're just cheap, and they'll never do anything about it until the attendance goes down.
Well, there you have it. Thank you. Michael, please call back in. You're now our Rockies correspondent.
Okay. And very good, guys. I enjoy your show, and we definitely will. If I need any more input, I'll make sure I give you a call.
Please do. Thanks, Michael. Know that being our Rockies correspondent is
it's vital.
It's a vital, and it's also a non-paid position, just letting you know. With that being said, Connor Newt, Mr. Speaker, let's go.
All right. It is Celebrity Birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Use their electrical division for installations, inspections, upgrades, and more. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards. All right, first on this we have, it's a pop-up, not what we needed, Chimborazo Day. It looks like a mountain, so I should know that maybe. Impersonate Authority Day.
Don't do that. Don't be an imposter.
Let's not do that. Okay. Impasta. There we go. Love Conquers All Day is today.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. National Chocolate Macaroons Day.
So I should know what a macaroon
it's
is.
Like a cookie?
Okay,
I think.
But
like
I don't.
A French cookie maybe? I don't know. National Egg Day. So, national,
what kind of egg?
Just any egg.
Any?
Yeah, I assume so.
Like edible, non-edible?
Yeah, Oh, never mind. National Itch Day is today.
Itch Day?
Itch. Okay. Yeah, you get an itch. Yep.
Oh, it's out. Yep. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Repeat Day. It's kind of me every
What'd
day.
You say?
Yep. World Bicycle Day is today. Schwinn Bicycles are still around?
They are.
Yeah. World Cider Day. So if you like drinking some cider.
Cider's good, man.
Yep. And to wrap it up, World Club Foot Day. Club Foot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So that's what we got for today.
The Foot Club?
I was going to say something, but I was like, no, we'll move on. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. It's fun playing this game with two guys who were born about 12 years ago who don't know who any of these people are, so it's a good time.
Thank you.
All right, our first birthday is he's in the band Fish, Mike Gordon. How old is Mike Gordon from the band Fish?
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. 53.
What are you waiting on?
Sorry.
It ain't me, pal.
53.
This is home territory for you. 60.
60 exactly. Big Fish fan there, speaker?
Never heard of him.
Can you spell the band? It's spelled Fish. Can you spell that?
F-I-C-H.
It's P-H-I-S-H. And let's get Derek Lewis to spell fish.
He doesn't eat fish.
He doesn't care.
He likes McDonald's.
He likes the McGriddle. Next up is a guy that you've patterned your career after there, Dr. Crane. Anderson Cooper. You wanted to be a reporter? Anderson Cooper.
No, absolutely not.
He's a very good reporter.
Sure. Let's go 43.
63.
58. Anderson, his mother is... Gloria Vanderbilt, one of the Vanderbilts, I think.
Really? Alice Cooper?
Anderson Cooper.
Oh, same thing.
Not even close, but thanks. it's 2-0 the speaker right now. All right, move on down here. Let's see who else. Birthdays. Oh, boy, we don't have a whole lot. Oh, the bass player Too Slim of Riders in the Sky.
61.
They sing Woody's Roundup.
61.
Like from Toy Story?
Yep.
Oh, 70.
77. Singer Susie Quattro. She was on Happy Days as Pinky Tuscadero.
83.
75.
75, exactly. The speaker's up 4-0. He's taking no prisoners. Actor Scott Valentine, he was the rough boyfriend on the TV show Family Ties.
77.
I love Family Guy. Oh.
Family Ties.
65.
67. The speaker's up 5-0. He's on a roll. Country singer Jamie O'Neill, who had the great song There Is No Arizona.
63.
72.
57. Who else here? Oh, actress Lelaine Dupree from Lizzie McGuire. That's in y'all's age range.
I remember Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire.
38.
36.
Dr. Crane nailed it at 38. Well done with that.
Thank you.
All right, a few celebrity and then sports birthdays now. Let's go with one of the most iconic names in basketball. Very influential. Billy Cunningham. Billy Cunningham's birthday's today.
65.
80.
82. The speaker's up 6-2. Roland, one of the best golfers of all time, Hale Irwin. How old is Hale Irwin?
77.
83.
80. You guys are right in the middle of that one. One of the best tennis players of all time, Rafael Nadal.
Ooh, I should know this. 44.
42.
39. And our final birthday today, sports celebrity. He's still in the league. Al Horford played for Florida, won two national titles with him, with the Celtics now. Still getting it done.
41.
38.
39. That's it. Speaker went 7-2.
Well done.
Well done. I bet you couldn't identify all those people if you saw them out in public.
I knew some of them.
Doesn't matter, though.
No.
Because you won.
I know what Al Horford looks like.
Yeah, badass is what it looks like. Well done with that. Could you identify Derek Lewis if you saw him at McDonald's eating a McGriddle?
If he had his trainer with him, but I don't think he has a trainer anymore.
Would you go up and say, hey, you're on our radio show today?
You were very family friendly and used a lot of choice words.
Oh, my goodness. How did it go? Were you happy with your interview with Derek Lewis?
It wasn't
there?
Mine. It was our interview with Derek Lewis.
But you were looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was. I was. UFC's real cool.
I will say, though, that he was supposed to call in at 10. He called in at 10:30. 99% of the time, those people, when they're supposed to call in at 10, never call in.
He was doing his 6 miles. It takes him 4 hours.
Yep. So thank you, Derek Lewis, for still sticking to what you're doing and calling in. That's our show today. Any last words there, Dr. Crane?
No, just thanks for listening. Appreciate y'all letting me fill in for Chase while he's getting his certificates.
That's right. We lead all of our show every time talking to our guys out there. We know you're struggling. Every 60 seconds, a guy takes his life, and I wish I would have to bring this up. You turn the music down for a second if you don't mind. And it's a stat that just bothers me all day long, and we try to fight all this together. So if you're going through something, and to the guys who've reached out to us the last year and a half, thank you so much. We are here for you on your cell phone. You can call or text 988 if you need to talk to anybody. Know that we're out here, we're talking to you, and that our world is a better place because you are here. Please know that. And know that we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else, God loves you. DVD, it's next.